All right, it's that time. It's time for Beyond Sight and Sound. Let's do this.
SMW Shooters and Prospectors. What is SMW Shooters and Prospectors?
We at SMW Shooters and Prospectors help people find treasure.
Did you say treasure?
Yes, treasure. Just listen to this amazing reveal from our happy customer, Jackie Sparrow.
Error, chocolate ship shape, and a pleasure to deal with. I was able to buy everything that I needed at prices that were shillings less than others. I found my 9 pieces of 8 in no time. Savvy?
I know you're asking yourself, why should I shop at S&W Shooter and Prospectors?
Chuck Smalley has over 45 years of metal detecting experience. He works with each customer one-on-one to customize their setup to match their skill level.
So if you always dreamt of being a pirate,
Arr.
Contact Chuck at SNW Shooters and Prospectors, and he'll take a great deal for you.
High passion rum not included.
Caution. Please do not operate motor vehicles or power equipment while under the influence of this show. Listening to this show could cause side effects such as bouts of laughter, violent binges of cabin fever, and even dreams of silver and gold. Please be advised. Now that the fine print is out of the way, on with the show.
All right. We're back. We're live. I think. No, we are. We are back. We are live. And we're getting things off the ground and going here. I don't know. I saw a squirrel. I got a little sidetracked. And I'm kind of paying for it right now, having to backtrack and everything. Not very late at all tonight. Had a little something go on with the audio, though. That's all right, though. And I had a typo in the post for the show, but at least it's not reflected in the title here on the YouTube side. And maybe I'll fix that after the show. But hey, we know what's going on. We definitely know what's going on. The weather is getting nicer is what's going on, isn't it, Chuck?
Oh, much nicer. It got pretty warm. About 86. Frank and I decided to go look at a school site that I've been granted permission on. We worked it for a while, nothing much there. And then there were some other old sites, and one of my old shooting and hunting buddies, he has a farm out there, and they were out in the field. They got some tile work they're doing. So I swung down the field, and he was giving me grief because he couldn't recognize. He didn't know I had a new pickup. And we scored a couple old home sites there, and he gave me the info I needed on another school that ran from 1860 to 1954. So we're working on getting on that one before the planting starts, but all the boys got their planters parked out in the drives. They're ready to fly.
Nice.
Yep.
Sounds like that. People are getting geared up. They're getting excited.
Yep, they are. And then he actually has at his farm site in that county, probably the oldest standing home in existence for that county yet. It's old local limestone that was quarried near the town that we went out to, and somewhere before, he wasn't quite sure. They're not sure because the tax rolls weren't even set up then, before 1840. So wow. No sites in that area, and it's definitely farm country because you go out and you detect out in the field and then you see the pickup coming and all of a sudden it slows down and the phone's up to the ear and they're calling, hey, you got a couple guys in the field over there. Yeah, he's okay. He's got permission. Okay, they watch each other's backs pretty close.
Oh, yeah, that's the way it goes out in those areas. They don't miss a thing.
Right.
At
no.
All.
No. No. Frank was with me while I was talking with my friends there, and he was laughing because he was giving me a bunch of grief. Because I hadn't been down for a while. You changed trucks, and he told the wife to load up the gun. This guy's been driving back and forth because I was trying to locate that school site. And the best way to do it, I turned around in their drive, went back down to the field, was just go talk to them.
Ah, I see.
And that meant driving out through the field.
Yeah, literally.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I don't think you were picking up a lot of mud in the field. Not today.
Not today. The top was dry, but as we went in, he was working, trying to figure out why field tile had spewed a bunch of water in the low spot in the field because it's either broken or froze this past year. I don't know what happened. So they're kind of figuring how to fix that. So,
right.
And then, you know, when you
hopefully
go.
Hopefully.
You talk to these old boys out there, you're tied up for an hour, at least.
That's if it's a quick conversation.
That's right. We got in, he and I have known each other a long time, and actually he was a friend of my dad's when he was a young man. So, I had to get caught up.
They do love to talk.
That's the farm rule.
Yep, they do love to talk, and you'd be amazed what you can learn if you stop and listen to them a little bit, especially when it comes to their property that you're hunting and everything. And it's a nice reciprocation. I mean, if they're giving you permission to hunt, why not spend a little bit of time with them and chit-chat?
Oh yeah, you gotta. And the next thing I know, he said, follow me on, we're going to go up, I'll show you where the two other older homes were. Got up there, and they had dug out and hauled dirt a ways to put a base down for some houses to be dug. And when they did, they broke into three privies. They rescued all the bottles, and it sounds like it was quite a bunch. And I mean, one of his wife's friends collect bottles and he gave them all to her, and they were old blob tops in there.
The good stuff, the old stuff.
There were three separate privies from two homes that had been there. And we found the heavy duty nail scatter and that. We didn't hunt that site very long, and we'll go back there and do it again, hopefully before they plant. Once it's planted, you don't go out there. But they'll be planting beans there. So in the fall, well before the bow season, once he's picked, hopefully we get out there. They both deer hunt, and you know, you gotta watch it. You don't interfere with any deer hunting. Kevin and his dad, they hunt heavy.
Right.
I'd sold him a lot of equipment. In fact, Kevin, his son, bought a detector for his son, and he's just getting going. He said, can you run over? And he bought it through R&R, pardon me. And, yeah, I'm going to go help him train him on it.
Hey, that's that, you know, after the sale customer service we talk about.
Yep. But he knows every farmer down there for square miles around him. He knew where the school was because his sister went to it. And he said, right, he told us, pointed out where it's at. So now we, but they don't own the property. It's on the border of their property. So we got to do a little more checking.
Yeah, but see, that's why it pays to chit-chat with them, because they know the other farmers and they can grease the wheels and open the doors.
Yep. Handshake and a bunch of bantering back and forth. Good old boy syndrome out in the farm fields.
Mm-hmm. And especially if you can, you know, you get out in those fields hunting, some days it may not be the greatest finds, but you run across something like we were talking about earlier, you know, a big hitch pin, they're tickled pink to get that back.
Yeah. Frank found a big hitch pin. He's going to clean it up. They don't give those away.
Huh? Those ain't cheap either.
Nope.
Oh, hey, I see Barks Detecting in the house.
Yeah, I saw a video.
You got to give him some kudos.
I can't tell on his video what the coin is, but I know what the coin is. Frank told me all about it. It's about time you moved up and went to Mine Lab. That's the kind of stuff we find.
Right, that's what we like to see. Good job.
Yes.
Congrats to him.
Found out he was on a club hunt yesterday in the Quad City area in an undisclosed location for the club members, and he nailed a real nice seated quarter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hudson City seated quarter.
Yeah.
What I'm told.
That's a nice one. That's one to be proud of for sure, and I'm sure he's pleased with it.
Yeah. He said the coin was blurry. That's an understatement. It's like squinting at that thing going, oh. So.
I'll tell you what. I'll bet he was happy that he dug that signal.
Yep.
I'll bet that was a surprise.
But I did hear they got some V nickel, shield nickels, and Indians. And he got that quarter. So it was a good little club hunt, I was told. I couldn't make it yesterday. So that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and for people that may have missed it, I don't know if the posts are still up or still being added or not, but Frank was cleaning out his cupboards the other day, and he's got some various coins for sale over in the Detect America Buy Sell Trade Group.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw he had a pile of coppers, you know, large cents, colonials, KGs.
Yep, help him out there. Let's take a look. Oh, he said they're all gone.
Nice. Good. Good. That's what we like to hear. We like to see it move fast. I figured they would. I figured they would.
Pacifico says, don't buy them. They're fake.
Well.
Oh, here we go.
They didn't look like they were. They didn't look like they had been cleaned with the ugly box, to me anyway. But who knows? Maybe they had been.
Who knows?
He had some coppers up there. He had some silver up there. Quite the variety. It's always neat to see when he's cleaning out the truck and the cupboards and the desk and stuff like that, and all these coins just keep showing up. It's kind of neat to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, everybody looks like they've been getting out. Phil was out. I hope he unwrapped his coil.
Yeah, I hope he wasn't using the foil coil. It wasn't the kind of digging that I would have liked to have done, but I even got out today, you could say. I was working on a tiller, trying to get it running, and I lost the wing nut for the air filter cover. So I come in the house, and I told Tam, I said, I'll be right back. She's like, what? I said, I lost the wing nut for the air filter. She said, you came in and grabbed your pinpointer, didn't you? I said, you damn straight I did.
Yeah, that's what we got him for. Yep. Phil gets a congratulation on his first ever 2 cent piece.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yes. Congratulations to Phil on his 2 cent piece. That was awesome.
You never forget them. I've been blessed in finding the numbers of those I have found, and a couple of them are awesome. And one is a clipped coin. It is a mistake. An 1857 with a clip in it.
How many of them you got now? You probably got a handful of them.
What, 2 cents? 25? Oh, yeah. 25 or 30, somewhere in that range.
Wow.
I've got nice. I got an 1864 small motto, which is kind of a rare little bird. Doggone it, it's pretty rough, though. And I got that out in Pennsylvania. Found that in Pennsylvania in a field.
Nice.
Yeah.
Steve would probably tell you a couple of those Ronnie dropped.
Yeah. And I've found a lot of 2 cent pieces. It just large cents, a fair amount of those. I still, the elusive half cent for me, for some reason, I don't know why, but I'll get one.
Boy, I found plenty of those over the years, only they're the wrong kind of half cent.
Oh.
Yeah. And some ones that don't hold up very well. It would be nice to find the true one, though.
Yeah, and we were down central Illinois hunting a while back, Dave, Frank, and I with a gentleman, and Dave popped a what we believe it's a half cent. You can read it, but it was in 1806. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
That was the first one he'd ever found. So, eventually.
What a way to break into it, finding one like that.
Right.
Around here, they still call the large cent the Ohio Wheatie.
Yeah, Mark says the same. He said half cent saluting him. He found a half a large cent. Does that count? Nope.
Yeah, that's a big half cent.
And it seems like more of those half cents are found the further east you go, it seems. So I don't know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I would agree.
Yeah.
You know, the further east you go, the older your finds get a lot of times. That you guys don't get them that old out west.
Especially if you follow the trails across the state, you get into some good old stuff. And that's
right.
Found the majority of the wheat cent or wheat cents. The Spanish half coin.
They're 2 cents. Oh, the reals. Yeah.
The reals have all been down from about a line on the Iowa-Missouri border down and around through Illinois and down into Missouri. I've never found a real in my particular area here.
And I would just about have to guess that follows a trade route.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, yep. It comes right through past Springfield, going over into Carthage and Nauvoo and Niota, that particular area down there south into just above Quincy where they congregated, and then on down the river to St. Joseph, Missouri.
Wow. Nice.
So
I know around here, the Reals show up every now and then, but we have actually, I'd say within an 8 mile radius of me, I know of 4 8 Reals that have been dug.
I have 2. I have found 2 over the years.
Wow.
The first one I found was early enough, and it was in Keokuk, Iowa, outside of Keokuk. I really didn't know at that time what I had. We didn't have the interconnectivity. I had to go to the coin shop, Davenport, Iowa, take it in and go and put it down. He goes, "Oh, where'd you get that?" And I said, "I dug it." He said, "You know what you got?" And I said, "No, I didn't have the history of the Real." That was our first silver dollar circulating around the United States.
And absolutely it was.
He wanted to buy it, and I didn't want to. I told him, "I'm not selling it." And I've kept that. This one I've had for a long time.
Well, and you said that was your first, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times our first always has a little bit of, maybe a little bit of sentimental attachment.
Yeah, there's a couple of them in there. I've got the first 2 cent piece, still got my first V nickel, because that was the first old coin that I ever found. I found it with the White's Coin Master 4. I'd found 50s, 60s, 40s, but nothing that I would date at that time as old. And a 1906 or whatever it was, V nickel popped up, and I was pretty proud of that.
Well, for good reason, especially at that point.
Yeah, it's sitting in the safe. Found a lot of wheat.
Nothing wrong with that.
All the time.
And yep.
Did you push a button and put balloons in the air?
I don't think so, but I saw that. It looked like a bunch of balloons came up on your screen.
I did not do anything. I'm sitting there going, where'd they come from?
Yeah, I just happened to look over and I thought, what was that? Am I seeing things? And I almost brought it up to see if anybody in the chat had seen it. I don't know what that was or how that happened.
I'm going, the only one I figured do it is on your end. But nope, it came up as
yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know. It's possible.
They thought it's my birthday.
Right, yeah. Happy early birthday. My hands haven't been the greatest today, although, yeah, there you go. That's a good way to play it off. Suki's birthday's coming up. We can say she had birthday balloons in there.
Okay. Pam was doing it, according to Shannon.
And,
anyway,
oh, go ahead.
Are we giving something away tonight? Shortly?
Yeah. I see that Mike's in the chat, so he'll be able to to find out how we're divvying those out, because I did not get the chance to message him about it, so he's going to find out real time. But yeah, thanks once again to Mike Laquamette. Big shout out to him and Metal Detecting Central Illinois. He's got a great group over there, great moderator team, and man, they've been adding members left and right. I mean, it's crazy how much that group has grown in the past few years, and Mike does a great job with his contests and everything. We always appreciate the support that he shows for the show too.
Yep, he has. And he's a supporter, and we try to support him back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I see that Jason Weir is in the chat. He sent me a message earlier, and I did get that posted up on the Beyond Sight and Sound page. We've got a little teaser video of the storm. But it is a very short teaser. But hey, all the news is fit to print, I guess. We'll throw it out there and people can look and speculate and see what comes of it. And we've also got an article up there on the Beyond Sight and Sound page. Our carved Sasquatch made the state news. They actually did that in such a way that they put an antique tractor out with the display, so it looks like he's playing with a tractor.
Cool.
He's got his hand on top of the tractor. And I guess I've said in past episodes how Bigfoot ties in with the eclipse, the city, the fairgrounds, whatever is beyond me. Well, apparently it's because the state of Ohio is in the top five states for Bigfoot sightings. And it surprised me. We're number four in the top five. And what? You would think that the other three states are Pacific Northwest states.
That's what I would have thought. Washington, Oregon.
Right.
Ohio supposedly has their own Yeti.
Florida beat us. Florida is number three in the top five states.
Bunch of retirees that can't see.
Although I believe down there they call it the skunk ape.
Skunk ape.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I mean, I haven't seen one on Frank's Critter Cam yet. So
Frank's on guard for it. If anybody makes it in his neighborhood, it'll be Frank.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He seems to catch everything on that. So we'll see. Maybe one day, if he's lucky, he might have video evidence of a skunk ape. Who knows? But yeah, we do have some winners to announce for the Silver Eclipse giveaway, and hopefully they are listening live, because I did say you had to be listening live to claim your prize.
Tonight's the night.
Right.
So and we've got first, second, and honorable mention.
And right? Honorable mentions, yes.
Honorable mention, you're going to get a Washington quarter and
a silver Washington quarter.
No, a silver, yeah. Silver Washington quarter and a 1/10 ounce gold panner. Silver.
Ooh, that gold panner. That's cool. That's cool.
I'm a sucker for the gold pan ones. I like them.
Yeah, I can't blame you there. I can't blame you there.
Every time I'm there, I buy a couple from the Alaska Mint. That comes from Alaska Mint in downtown Anchorage.
So we'll have to see. We'll have to hope that they're listening.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What do you say we start with the honorable mentions first and move our way up to first?
Hey, whoever put the balloons on, do it again while we're giving out the names. That was interesting. I thought it was you messing with something. Yeah. It's like I found a new button.
I don't know. It may have been, but if it was, I don't know how I did it. I've never seen that happen before.
I haven't either.
Strange things.
Yeah, Matt,
and it seems like it was only on your side of the screen. Like I didn't see them go up on my side.
I don't know what's going on.
I just saw them on the on that side of the screen.
An update somewhere on here. I don't know what it was. We had that power outage and things got kind of wacky.
Yeah, that's no good. Well, if we want to start with the honorable mention first, we'll have to see if they're in the chat somewhere. I don't know if they're on the Facebook side or on the YouTube side. And we'll give them, we'll give them like 2 minutes. That ought to give them more than enough time for us to notice them, hopefully. So our honorable mention goes to Ian Akins. Shannon's putting balloons in the chat.
I saw that. Scott. Okay.
That's funny. Ian, where you at? Where you at? You could be a winner. So we'll see. Hopefully he shows up somewheres.
Yeah. I'm scrolling back through here. I'm not seeing him signed in.
Ooh, he may miss out.
Ian, buddy, where you at? Has anybody seen Ian on here tonight?
Because if he's not here to claim his prize, it goes back into the pool. And I know I didn't give people much of a heads up, but...
He's driving. Tam said Ian was in here, and he said he is driving and listening.
Oh, well, we can't have him getting in an accident.
No. Ian, get hold of us when you get back. Right. If you were driving and listening, we'll honor that. I will.
Right. Yeah, we don't want you getting in an accident or anything.
Right. No.
So if Tam saw him in there and he was driving, he probably shouldn't have even made that post. But, yeah, we can.
Yeah, I seen he was here. Okay. We'll give him. I do that for all of you. If you're driving and you can't really stop or nothing, congrats, right. Ian. All right, move yep. to the next line. Now, there's a couple of them there that are just absolutely funny.
Yes, they are. And, you know, that's why we say that's why we have the disclaimer at the beginning of the show of not operating motor vehicles or power equipment that's while right. under the influence of the show.
Disclaimer, we have to follow that.
Right. So congratulations to Ian. He gets the silver quarter and the 10th ounce gold panner.
Yeah.
So when he gets to a safe place like home later, he can go ahead and message you or me his shipping address, and you'll get that out in the mail to him. Congrats. So now it's time for our runner-up, I guess you could say.
Okay.
Second place.
Ta-da!
Not that it was second best, because it was... It was really tough. It really was.
Yep.
So that prize pack will consist of, hopefully Mike's listening, a silver half, a silver quarter, and a silver dime. And that prize pack is courtesy of Mike Lockamet, Metal Detecting Central Illinois, and that goes out to Phil Bortner for the foil coil. And I know Phil is in the chat. I saw him in there earlier.
Shannon's still here. She was just on
right,
there.
Shannon's probably going, I'll take that.
Oh, Phil's there. All right. There we go.
There Phil. We go. Congrats to Phil. PM me. Or Mike, your shipping information, you will receive a silver half, silver quarter, silver dime. Because Mike had, he had sent the image and said, divvy it out however we want, divide it up however we want. So, Ian got the honorable mentions, and you'll get the silver half, silver quarter, silver dime.
Shannon, Shannon just won some silver ore, he says.
Right. Okay. I'll bet she watches the mailbox like a hawk.
Oh, yeah.
I would.
Well, there's, I mean, especially. Hello, Warren. How you doing, kiddo?
Because so, they are pretty lucky at winning things from time to time, it seems. Because it's not just here. I see them doing it on other shows.
They did some humor there. It was a good thing. Fun. You know, pays to play, you guys.
Exactly. Mike LaQuamette asks, which silver half? I don't know if he's asking Phil and giving Phil his choice, but I figure Mike can always divvy out whichever silver half he wants Phil to get. Or Shannon, I mean. I'm sure Shannon will let him know.
Hey, while we're discussing this, you guys, the European silver market, Friday we had a drop in silver and gold, but with all the actions between Iran and Israel on the cusp of a war, it jumped up again today, silver and gold.
Drove it right back up.
Yeah.
So what are we sitting at for price of silver now?
It was 20. Doggone it, I don't have my check sheet. 27.80, I think it was.
Wow.
And creeping back up toward that $28-$29 range. Gold gained another $15 back. It dropped, and it's still open. I mean, it's still going back and forth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's
I wish Iran would take a lesson. You don't walk up to the porch and kick the sleeping lion. Israel ain't up with that BS. So we'll leave it at that. 28-26, Dennis says.
Wow. Well, I should have known too that Dennis would have had the he keeps a close eye on it.
I knew it went over 28 and the gold jumped up a little more. He just got me thinking on the gold. I got someone might be sending into the smelter this week. The refiner.
Right. Yep, that's right, Lauren. You should have posted it up. She did post up her Shield nickel that she found during the eclipse, but she did not post it in the Beyond Sight and Sound group.
Oh, Lauren, you need to follow. That would have been a good one to post up and say, hey, look what I found.
Yeah, I know.
The eclipse.
Yeah. A shield nickel during the eclipse. That was probably the best find that I heard of during the eclipse.
Yep.
But she didn't post it in the Beyond Sight and Sound group. Yeah, what do you do? It's a pit sometimes. But that's the way it goes. So, hopefully, usually they are listening. Usually they're over on the Facebook side, though, and I'm not over there. But our first place... And I'll explain why it was so tough after we announced that. But our first place was Janet Chapman for the foil hat. So congrats to Janet. If she's in the chat somewhere, like I said, she may be on the Facebook side because I know a lot of times she listens over on the Beyond Sight and Sound page. So we'll see if she's around. And for me, the thing that made that so tough is her and Phil both. Well, her, Phil, and Shannon, all three, I guess, were having such a good time with all of that. It was all in good fun. And that's what it's about. Get out there and have fun, you know. And it was an absolutely hilarious video. I just about fell out of my chair laughing about the foil coil. But Janet was out in a public park with that foil hat, a park full of people watching the eclipse, and she was getting some pretty crazy stares, too.
There's Janet. Ba-dum, ba-dum.
Oh, she is in the chat.
She's coming off Facebook. Frank said she was over on the DA page. So
okay.
She's in the house, Janet. So, congrats. Now, I want to qualify something to you guys. It didn't necessarily have to be funny.
Right.
You were out doing an experiment. Did you think you found it because of different pull on the earth? Who knows?
Right. But
21
environmental conditions. It would have been really interesting to see somebody out there hunting in during totality with a headlamp.
That would have been good.
At that point, you about would have needed one.
Right. Phil gets a walker with the Washington quarter and a rosy dime.
And Janet also gets a silver half, silver quarter, silver dime.
Yeah. Congrats, everybody.
Because those, I mean, it was tough. You both were having such a good time with it. And they were both just, I mean, how could you not get a chuckle out of it when you saw those posts?
Well, I like the reaction of the public staring at her.
Right? And that's kind of what it came down to. The foil coil was hilarious, but that takes a particular sort of person to be able to deal with those stares in public like that.
And Mike's Janet gets a barber half with her quarter.
Ooh.
Bob. Cool.
Nice.
Sweet.
Congratulations, Janet. And once again, a huge thank you out to Mike for his donation. Very, very cool. Very, very much appreciated as usual. Yeah. And hey, Janet may not have found a whole lot during the eclipse. Like she said, she did find some things, but she got a nice little stack of silver for it.
Yep.
And so did Shannon or Phil, depending on who gets to the mailbox first.
That's right.
I did see somebody say that that would look great in Shannon's collection. And then even Ian, you know, he didn't get to go out and detect because he got called away for work. And that's why he just got the honorable mention. But hey, he called in, he shared the story. Actually, he came on through the show, too. He came on through the link and shared his story. And he got the silver quarter and the 10th-ounce gold panner. And, I mean, not making light of the other prices, because those are excellent prizes. But that 10th-ounce gold panner's pretty cool. Everybody's got a special spot for barbers, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But that gold panner, that is a pretty neat one. Yeah. I know.
And they still sell them. You can get them off several sites, but I get them out of Alaska Mint.
Probably get them cheaper right there at the Alaska Mint.
Yeah, and there's nothing cheap at the Alaska Mint.
Well, state of the economy, there's nothing cheap anywhere.
I'll tell you what, if you ever make it to Anchorage, get downtown, go to that Alaska Mint. They mint the coins there. You can walk right back and watch them being struck. And that's kind of cool process. And then their display and sales of gold nuggets and jewelry made out of gold nuggets. And it's phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
Right? Eye-popping.
Yes.
I mean, that you know, sometimes you see people make a nice find out in the field, and you're fortunate enough to be with them and get to experience that with them and see them being successful and overall be happy for them.
Right. I have dealt with them off and on buying some things for, they've got jade, carved jade up there that's gorgeous and brought Jill home.
Oh, I'll bet she loved that.
Yeah, they're just little nice native carved jade. And up on the coast, up on the sound up there, they find good pieces of jade and they carve it.
Nice. Very nice.
Pretty cool place.
But then, you know, being up there in Alaska like that, you every now and then, I'm sure you see somebody make a nice find where, sure, you're happy for them. Yep. It's great to see them succeed in the field.
You bet.
But it's also okay to be maybe a little bit envious, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you what. That 7-ouncer that come out, everybody was like, oh, man. Boy, would I like to have found that. There's a little envy in there. There is. But we're very happy for Mike. And that's a pretty cool find. And anything 1 ounce and larger, even half ounces that are pretty, and they're able to turn them into jewelry, carry a hefty price too.
Right. And you know how we've said before, you never necessarily want to say it's a find of a lifetime because you don't know what you'll find next.
No.
But he could be hard-pressed to top that one.
Right.
But you never know. It's happened before.
He's going with me again this summer. So
Mike, you never know. He may be looking for the other half.
Trip. Maybe you'll have it this one.
Right.
We got some new time to work. We'll go see.
Do you happen to know, is he going to be swinging the Equinox again this year, or will he be running a Manticore?
He'll be swinging the Equinox. I'll bet on it.
Well, I can't blame him. You know, look how it produced for him the last time.
Yeah. The entire group had phenomenal finds with the 800s.
Very good luck with the 800s, and they weren't even necessarily in prospecting mode.
No, they were not. They were in parks.
Because it seemed like the majority came out of parks mode.
Yep. That soil is moderately hot. There's a lot of green hot rocks, and once you got that figured out, what they read, just ignore them and move on. And that worked real good, and a lot of small pieces, I'm talking sub gram, came up with that thing. It did a good job. And the guys with the hockey pucks that could work the push sides and crevices and that were pulling stuff out, so everything worked.
Yeah, I get the sneaky suspicion that Chuck's going to take a Manticore with an 8-inch coil.
Yes, I am. I'm going to try the Manticore. I've already laid some gold out for it, and pretty impressive.
Really?
Yeah.
And I'm sure when you laid out the gold for it, you gave it quite the variety. So you were testing the larger pieces and the subgram.
Yeah. Yeah. The subgram, depending upon the angle, it banged it hard and then disappeared a little bit. So we'll see.
Well,
it's a tiny piece, but I was finding earrings that were so tiny in the ocean and on the beach and the backings.
Yeah, the backs of them. Yeah.
Excuse me. So.
And I'm sure that when you tested these gold pieces, that was probably air testing. So maybe in the ground, it'll hit it both directions. Maybe.
Maybe. But I'm impressed with it. And with the 8-inch coil, I should be able to crevice with it a little bit along some of the piles and things like that. So it
hopefully
pick up well.
Yeah. I mean, it's entirely possible.
I still have my SDC alone.
Well, that has become like an EDC for you for Alaska.
Yeah. That's a tough machine, and it rides well and does very well on subgram and up. So
yeah. When you're going to Alaska, you don't leave home without that SDC.
Mm-mm. Nope. I got guys using 6,000 up there. They like that too. But, you know, when I can do as well as they are with a lot less money tied up in a detector, I'm just like everybody else.
Oh, yeah. I agree. And you got to stop and figure, yes, there are machines specifically dedicated for gold hunting. But when you guys can go up there with the Equinox 800s and knock it out of the park like you did,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't see any reason in paying all that extra money. So, you guys were doing just fine with what you had.
A lot of gold was found on that particular trip by a lot of people.
Right.
I think we pulled that week as a group somewhere close to 16 ounces.
And it goes to show you don't necessarily have to have an extremely pricey machine to do well for yourself.
Right.
And it just, we've said it before, it only takes that one good find to pay for your machine.
Correct. Hey, Barks, you tell him I still got one, and it's now over at the shop. So, 8-inch coil for the...
For the main core.
Because the last one that I kept a couple here, and another one went out, and I thought I'll hang that over at the shop, see if somebody wanders in and grabs it.
Right. Yeah, you never know, because
they aren't out there in great numbers yet.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. You never know, because they are still a little tough to find. I mean, they're not real plentiful. And I think that probably right now the 15 is a little easier to get than the 8, because the 8 is the hot item. Everybody wants that 8.
Considered in stock everywhere. I can call it and order it up. No problem. 8-inch, mm-hmm. not so much. They aren't in stock where
right.
they call and order a couple. They're not here.
Right, and that's the thing, too. I mean, it's all about the particular individual's environment and hunting style. I mean, I can see where the beach hunters and the pasture field park type of hunters would definitely like a 15-inch coil for covering ground fast.
Mm-hmm.
But that does not mean that there is not a use for the 8-inch coil. And I'm hearing and seeing a lot of good things about that 8-inch coil. You're not really losing much depth at all. It's negligible.
Not that I have found. I haven't found a big difference, really. And its sensitivity, I've learned that I've had to back down the sensitivity a bit on that one. And because, man, little pieces of birdshot are coming up. It's pinging them.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you know as well as I do, sometimes less is best. You know, you don't, just because the sensitivity can go so high doesn't mean that that's necessarily what you want to do. Because you can, sometimes you find out that it can actually hurt you in the field.
Right. Mark says that Clay wants snake skins to make his detector look fancy. Well, you tell him I can get him those. Alrighty. Well, yeah. Sir.
Hey, you never know. Kevin may be wanting one to dress his up a little bit too after finding that Carson City Quarter.
Pretty nice find. Carson City, good day.
Yeah, anytime you flip a coin, I don't care what condition it's in, you flip it over and see a CC on the back, it's a good day. But that one, That's a good day.
Mm-hmm.
That is definitely a good day.
Yep.
Yep. So congratulations to him once again. That's one to be proud of.
There you go. There you go.
All right.
All right.
Well, we got our winners announced.
Yep.
And
thanks for come up.
Pretty pleased.
We'll do a couple weeks there. Maybe we'll come up with a window of a couple weeks or 3 weeks for the best find for somebody and give out a little silver.
There you go. And I had meant to send a message to a gentleman the other night to see about getting them on the show. Somebody had brought them to my attention, tagged me in a post that was just absolutely hilarious. I don't know if he'd be interested in coming on the show, but you and I had spoke about him earlier. I think he'd be a funny guy to have on the show.
Let's head for it. We got to get Rizzo on here. Rizzo wants to get on with us.
Yeah, he said
he did.
He's been having such a great time.
Yeah.
He was just at another event. You can't stop him.
No. He's on the road, man. And when Ian gets back with us, since he's on the road, I'll need his mailing address.
Right. Yeah. So for Ian, Janet, and the Bortners, message me your shipping address, or Ian, message me or Chuck, and Janet and the Bortners, message me or Mike LaComette, and those prizes will get shipped out. And thanks once again to Mike for his donation, and once again to you, Chuck, for yours.
Okay. We'll see you guys. Hey, get out there and find another 2 cent piece there, Phil, and the rest of you. Find your bucket listers. Find them. Have a good time. Night all.
Right. We'll see you, Chuck. Thanks for dropping in.
Well, thanks for having me, folks. We'll talk.
Okay. So, yeah, we'll have to see. We're working on getting a couple other people on to the show that, It should be a good time, definitely. So congratulations once again to Kevin on his very, very nice find. And congratulations to Ian, Phil, or Shannon. Tomato, tomato. And Janet on their prize wins. Thanks once again to Chuck for his donation and Mike for his donation and support as well. Check out Metal Detecting Central Illinois if you have not already. Great group. They're taking on members every day. So, congrats to everyone. We'll see what the next episode brings. We're going to roll. Have a wonderful evening.
We sure are glad you found us here tonight. Thanks for dropping by and joining in. If you like metal detecting, treasure hunting, gold prospecting, or even entertaining discussion, check us out Wednesdays and Sundays, 8 p.m. Eastern, on your favorite podcast distribution services.